Well, thank you for your trust in us. I can't tell you that.
All the best.
Like, it sounded. Oh, good luck then good to luck. You. It sounded like an advertisement for why someone wants to be at work on the Standard Chartered account. I mean, you know, they're knocking down the door, Shelley.
Well, I hope so. You too could be this happy.
Welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of Team Around the Table. I'm Aubrey Waddell, and I'm joined today by Shelley Boland, the Global Head of Real Estate for Standard Chartered Bank. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the transformation journey that Standard Chartered's been on and the importance of partnerships to that journey. Welcome, Shelley.
Thanks, Aubrey. Great to be here on day one of the partnership and really looking forward to our discussion.
Congratulations to us.
Oh, congratulations to you.
Yeah.
Congratulations to our teams.
So, Shelley, tell me about a day in the life as the leader of CREZ for Standard Chartered Bank. I know property has changed so much for you in the past couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit about how much more complex it's become?
At the moment, a day in the life of heading up the global function at Standard Chartered is quite a dynamic one. For us, we support over 90,000 colleagues every day in around 1,300 properties. Around half of those are in retail outlets. So we're dealing obviously with external customers. And we also include in our portfolio data centers, residential, and probably a mix of owned and leased. The markets we're in are hugely diverse. I mean, you know, 50 plus markets around the world. We've got a huge presence in Asia Pacific, Africa, Middle East, Pakistan, Europe, and Americas. So for me, a day in the life could be anything from starting the day with what's happening on the ground in Singapore to ending the evening with an exciting new headquarter project in New York. The real estate portfolio can really create the capacity to grow, but it does come with some challenges.
Yeah.
Or as I like to say to my team, opportunities.
Right. I know that the property team has just had a rebranding from property to CREZ. Can you tell me the significance of that? What does CREZ stand for? And what does that mean for your team?
So corporate real estate and services is our new brand within the enterprise. And I felt that that was a more appropriate and relevant description to the end-to-end services that we provide for our colleagues and clients. I felt property perhaps gave a more narrow view and it was more around the built environment. And I wanted to ensure that our colleagues, our clients, our team understood the impact that we make every single day to every single colleague and every single client. And that is obviously creating physical workspace, but it's also around the services.
And can we talk a little bit more about the experience? I mean, that has become such a hugely important part of everything that any leader of CRE is leading now.
Yeah, and if you look at our strategy, we are enabled to the three key outcomes for the organization. Obviously, there's a commercial element with return on tangible equity, but the second element is a best-in-class client experience. So for every client that comes into our branch, if they come into our guest relation services, and employer of choice. Now, to do those two things, it has to be an experience and a brand experience with Standard Chartered that really makes you want to come and work and stay with Standard Chartered, and it makes you want to come and bank and stay with Standard Chartered. And so the real estate team, of which we have over 10,000 brand ambassadors, if I think of all of our supply chain, they can really make an impact on that experience.
A lot of our clients, particularly clients in the financial services industry, are going through a transformation in terms of what they're delivering to clients and the experience that they want their employees to have. I know Standard Chartered's going through something similar. What does transformation look like for you there?
Yeah, I'd look at it two ways. I suppose at an enterprise level, you know, we're really looking at transforming the business under this tagline, fit for growth, and it's very public in terms of our commitments there. And that transformation could be anything from a new business idea, new products or services, a new market that we feel like we could really make a difference in. So the concept of innovation and transformation has to be part of our DNA every day. And I think that's where partnerships like Cushman's, we're bringing in that insight into the corporate real estate function so it can really challenge our thinking and really push that transformation agenda versus things that we're just going to rely on ourselves.
It's really such an exciting time to be in CRE, to think that now is not always been the case that we have had a seat at the strategy table.
Silver lining to a pandemic may have been that corporate real estate was always important, but its role became elevated. It was something that was going to be instrumental in a firm's recovery during that time, how we were going to support our colleagues, how we were going to serve clients, and how we were going to contribute to the communities we operate. Rightly or wrongly, our corporate real estate function and the services we provide, we've never left that top table. And in fact, it doesn't seem like there would be a better time to have your leaders for corporate real estate and services sitting with you and your business as you're trying to design and keep that competitive advantage around what we deliver in terms of the physical.
Yeah.
Make sure that we're delivering spaces that you can be proud of and that they're productive. But more importantly, and more importantly, is that client experience.
And what's interesting to me is once you sit at that top table, there's always the question about how you measure your success.
Yeah.
And so for property, historically, it's been a financial measure almost exclusively. And now it's turning into much more than that. And in fact, we're trying to measure things that we haven't necessarily measured before.
Or we still don't know how to.
Right. So how are you starting that journey to measure experience, happiness in the workplace, employee engagement, productivity, which now are things that are falling in a large part to you?
Yeah. Look, everything anchors back to the strategic agenda for the bank. So as I said, we have very clear and public results that we need to deliver in terms of return on tangible equity. So there's a commercial aspect. Mm-hmm. And look, that's not just cost saves. That is contributing to a productive environment so that my employees can be their best self. And in a way, then create those commercial impacts with clients. The second part there, as I said, is the employer of choice. Now, that's just not keeping the 90,000 colleagues engaged and productive. It's the next generation we want to attract to the bank.
Right.
So we've got a responsibility on both those areas. And then, as I said, best-in-class customer experience, which in this competitive nature in financial services, it's hard to capture more of that wallet with the client. So our branch experience, our integration with a sales and servicing model, the experiments we're running with virtual banks in Hong Kong and Singapore are really key. So how does that translate for corporate real estate? There's four key areas we're focused on. The first is around the office transformation. With the changes in hybrid working, we know that this is here to stay. In saying that, we believe there's always a role for the office. And so we've got metrics that we measure largely through a leaseman product that understand how productive that environment is, but also your sense of pride, how you're feeling about the organisation as a result of your office experience. The second then is the branch transformation. So we've been very clear that as an organisation, we're going to pivot to the affluent and more of the wealth environment. Now, that does mean a change in our 650-plus branches. That will change. But what you'll see is the retained branch network will be a sales and servicing solution that will be in an affluent and priority private experience so that we serve those customers in a best-in-class environment. The third pillar, which we haven't touched on but I think is hugely exciting, is sustainability. So we've gone out very publicly as an organisation and put our commitments forward. I've doubled down on that for corporate real estate and said every square foot in our portfolio by the end of 2025 will have a net zero position, whether it's an office, branch, that we want to be here for good, and we want to demonstrate that through our own corporate portfolio. And the fourth pillar, if I think of how I'm getting measured, is delivery every single day, which is where you guys come in. And we want to make sure that every moment that matters, whether it's arriving at guest relations or you need to have a meeting in our client suites, that you are in a safe, secure, resilient and brand experience environment. So that are the four key areas that I'll be doing my performance review on at the end of 2024.
And ours.
Yes.
So Shelley, help make this real for us. Give us a couple examples of things that you're doing specifically to improve or change your client experience.
Yeah, I'll look at that in two ways. Let me talk about client in terms of the 90,000 colleagues. So if I look at the office transformation, and we've set a three-year program in terms of where we want to be in square foot, where we want to be in experience, and clearly there'll be a commercial outcome for that as well. And this ensures that we are delivering productive working environments as compared with our peers. We're creating an experience that represents the brand. And in addition, we also go for well at scale as well as LEED Gold plus. So we're using those external metrics around our portfolio.
Can I just say that I love when I asked about client, what you wanted to talk about first were your colleagues as your clients.
I think for me, a client is whether I'm supporting an employee or it's someone about to visit our organization. So having been in client service industry now for many, many years, I just sort of, it's one group to me. The other area we're looking at with our partners in the retail area is trying to integrate the design of the branch and the retail outlet with the experience that the customer. So we're measuring the design and the layout. We've got three formats of the layout, and we're measuring which areas are utilized by the clients. Not so much about the individual name, but are areas in that branch more accessible or more popular from a sales and servicing perspective than other designs.
And what are you finding there?
Well, it's interesting. We are definitely, if I think about our pivot to affluent, we have moved our design branch standards very much to that priority private experience. And that when people come to that branch, they want a frictionless experience. They want privacy and be able to connect with their relationship manager. They do want to be able to easily access sales tools, so they need to be available if it was something where we wanted to perhaps offer a different product. So we are looking at a change in the actual location and the catchment areas when we're focusing on this affluent. So little things that you think maybe don't add up, but when you look at it end to end about that footprint and where you want to invest your dollar, it does start to really show through this measurement that we're doing in the branches.
What I love about what you're saying is it's so consistent with what we're hearing from so many of our clients in the retail and office space, which is starting first with what is the purpose of this place, which informs where should it be, what should be in it, what size should it be, what sort of furnishing should I have, what kind of amenities can I have. Are you thinking particularly around location about purpose of the place?
One of the things about Standard Charter that is our diverse footprint, and that gives a real differentiated experience for our colleagues and clients. With that, though, comes some complexities. You know, the way that we deliver real estate and services in Hong Kong versus our operation in Kenya versus our team that we just visited in Frankfurt is very different. Although we've got a global approach to design and services, to your point, we do want to ensure that it represents the market and the communities in which we operate and what is appropriate and customary for how people work there.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. I mean, and this is not necessarily for just the podcast, but we think about that all the time when we're serving clients. There is a, we all have a platform. We all have sort of a set of guidelines, right? Yours may be your brand guidelines, but then there's a level of customization that has to exist
yeah.
for clients.
We've developed our guidelines, SC Foundations, Standard Charter Foundations.
Yeah.
So you can sort of go to the design guidelines and you know, depending on the business that operates there, then the guidelines, you know, flex to those requirements. But at the same time, I want to make sure you feel like you're in a Standard Charter location.
So one of the things that you talked about are your commitments to sustainability. Can you talk more about what Standard Chartered has committed to there and how you're going to work with your partners to get there?
In 2025, by the end of the year, we want to be in a net zero position. So every square foot in our global portfolio would be recognized within that net zero capability. And we want to do this in the right way. We are not just looking at carbon emissions. We're looking at how we operate the facilities. We are looking at our impact on waste. We are looking at our impact on water. We're looking at our impact on energy. Whenever I do a fit out, we are looking at upcycling and how we can bring that into our fit out life cycle. And we really want to ensure, if I think about the energy side of it, that we are looking at renewable energy and really ensure that we are operating in markets that can support that. And where those markets cannot, then we are bridging the gap, perhaps through EACs, et cetera. So those are the areas we're trying to be our true self. In addition, we're looking at the branch network in exactly the same way. We want to be able to provide products to the market that represents a sustainable future, and you're servicing those products and selling them in a sustainable branch in terms of our Here for Good brand promise. And the third element there is we're reinvesting in our communities. I'll give you an example that our India team recently worked with the government and planted over 1 million trees to reinvest back into that community to provide that sustainable future.
And it is, it's remarkable.
It's
it really
remarkable.
Is.
Yeah.
And when I think about your property footprint and the markets in which you operate, to be net zero by 2025 is really something.
You're right. It's something that is quite strategic, but then as a employee or a colleague, you're sort of like, well, how can I make a difference? A good example, if you travel around our footprint, is just how we're dealing with waste. We've managed since 2023 to reduce waste by almost 40% across our footprint, and that is simple things like just recycling. Mm-hmm. Working with landlords that ensure that any waste is managed appropriately, and we're really making a difference there. And then within the building, we want to make sure that it's got well at scale in terms of accreditation, and that it's LEED Gold or higher in terms of the fit out and the building.
What we're hearing from a lot of our clients is that with respect to new square footage, they have much better luck in getting landlords, developers, et cetera, to commit to reporting in particular on carbon, waste, et cetera. However, with some of their older leased locations, it can be more of a challenge. Have you run into that? And if so, do you have any suggestions, tactics as to how you can get those landlords to come around and give you the information you need?
We've brought in partners such as yourself that you have technology and tools that we could supplement what we do on the ground. With the example on the reinvestment, we're doing that in our headquarters in New York and London, where we are optimizing and reinvesting. So that's where the partnership comes in with the landlord. And then with yourselves and others, we co-invest to make sure we've got that infrastructure in place and that information. But it's probably an evolving area, to be honest.
We've talked a lot about partnership, or you've touched a lot on partnership. And I know you work with other real estate providers, obviously globally. Can you talk to us a little bit about your Standard Charter strategy around this service provider ecosystem that you've created? What does good look like? What does success look like? What are your expectations coming into a partnership and the sustainability of every partnership?
Obviously, today is day one of a five-year partnership with Cushmans, although we have worked together in the past. And the model that Standard Charter has used is really around best in class. And therefore, we have in Asia Pacific and our Europe, Americas, Middle East, Africa, and Pakistan, we have best in class service providers in terms of the delivery on the ground. And then we have partnered with Cushmans globally around asset management and transactions for all of our portfolio. I deliberately use the word partnership. And I think if you spoke to any of our management team and our Standard Charter colleagues, they're very particular on that as well. And as a result, we'll deliver commercial results to the bank. And as a result, I could then reinvest that in enhancing the portfolio. The second area is around talent. I want to augment the Standard Charter team and those other partners with the top talent in the industry. And as a result, I can access a lot of that talent through the partnerships. And we want to be an account of choice so that actually you can attract the top talent, because people are, Aubrey, I absolutely want to be on that Standard Charter account. Yes. How do I get on?
Right, absolutely.
The third point for me as well is and look, I know that my peers probably look at this differently, but I want you at the top table. I want a partner to challenge the thinking, to bring new and fresh ideas, to experiment with us. And I feel like if you've committed to a transparent, trust-based, value-driven partnership, it is beneficial to have you at that table versus sitting outside the room.
Well, it certainly makes the job that much better.
Absolutely. Our top team would miss something if we didn't have those top real estate organizations sitting with us and be able to drive the portfolio to the next level.
Well, thank you for your trust in us. I can't tell you that.
All the best.
Like, it sounded, good luck then
good
to
luck.
You. It sounded like an advertisement for why someone wants to be at work on the Standard Chartered account. I mean, you know, they're knocking down the door, Shelley.
Well, I hope so. You too could be this happy.
So I'd love to learn a little bit more about you professionally and what motivates you in your role.
I think the common theme or the common thread, if you look through all of the different roles that I've done in the different markets, is I'm a real people person, and people motivate me and give me the energy to keep doing this. I love also then to see change and transformation. So for me, being able to sort of have a crazy idea a couple of years ago and seeing that come to life, it motivates me.
So what was that crazy idea?
Oh, well, I think...
Am I the crazy idea?
No. I think if you talk to my colleagues, they'll say she's had a few. I'm working on one experiment at the moment with our partners, and it's around trying to capture how, in a more measured way, the design and the layout of a branch and how it impacts sales and servicing. So at the moment, a lot of it is sort of sentiment, but I suppose my crazy idea with the team at the moment is to try and put more data and insight behind that through technology. So we will see. Maybe when we do the next around the table,
we'll
I can tell you whether
that
worked
experiment.
Experiment worked or not. Everyone said, you got no idea.
So many of our clients are working on a corporate real estate transformation. What advice would you have for your peers in the industry that are going through a similar transformation journey and who maybe just be embarking on it?
In actual fact, I would welcome some of their advice as well. But look, what's my advice at the moment? I think if I focus on a couple of key areas, my first would be bring the right thought leaders and partners around the table. Be very open to new ideas. And bringing diverse groups together is really important. An example of that is we brought together a cohort of industry and internal experts and clients and put together sort of a CRESS advisory board So we've got individuals from partners. I've got some thought leaders that are outside of the real estate industry. There's clients.
You have this independent board of directors.
Yeah. So it's a group that sort of formed informally as I was going through the change of my global head role. But I've kept that cohort together in terms of testing new ideas, challenging my thinking, and also as we transform the function, getting different perspectives. I think the second, and we talked about it earlier, is through unfortunate circumstances of a pandemic, it built the profile or increased the profile of a corporate real estate and services function. You are the integrator of the brand. You are connecting 90,000 plus colleagues every day. You are creating a best-in-class service for every customer, and you're making an impact. Lift that narrative and ensure that you are seen as a corporate leader across the enterprise and get some work-life balance so you can keep your energy up in what is a really dynamic time, but hugely exciting.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Shelley, it has been absolutely wonderful having you here with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no, thank you for the invitation.
And I hope you'll come back.
Yes, well, happy day one, and definitely we'll come back. I'd love to join again and talk about all the adventures that our teams have together.
Likewise. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today. We've been your team around the table.